Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour here on Overtime. Doc Walker, Heavy Metal, Christopher, with you here. And it has been a little chilly outside in some parts, but it could always be worse. So we're privileged to be a part of it in a Dallas week. Just a little different, but it's still, I think, the older the listener, the more relevant it is. And, of course, not a hatred, a competitive flavor to it. And no, a man who's been around quite a long time in this clash, and he's covered it from a number of different angles, from the desk, on the ground as a reporter. And Dr. Holder, I don't say it's Dallas week like it's Dallas week, but we do play the Cowboys, and there's a lot on the line. What's your temperature rating about this matchup?
Well, first of all, Happy New Year, Doc Walker.
Yes, sir.
Happy New Year, Metal Chris. It's good to be playing meaningful football. I haven't been around meaningful football in the beginning
right.
of January. That's not something that you could take for granted. But yes, Dallas week, it always brings back memories of all the games that I've covered. The one that stands out the most for a lot of people is Santana Moss and that Monday night killer. They weren't doing anything, and then two touchdowns. And I actually did an interview with Santana, and he told me that that never would have happened. None of that would have, none of those plays wouldn't have happened if Clinton Portis didn't go to Joe Gibbs and say, yo, let's throw it to Santana, because Santana was dejected. He said we weren't running anything. It's a fascinating story how Clinton Portis is the reason why those passes were ever even thrown by Mark Brunell to Santana Moss. I had my story already written. I was working for Fox at the time, Doc. I had my stories already written. By the time I got from the press box down Old Texas Stadium onto the field, they had already scored one touchdown, and I was on the field for the second one. And that iconic moment when Santana Moss goes right over to Chief Z, hugs Chief Z, and they won that game. I still can't believe they won. They weren't doing anything. They weren't doing anything, and two bombs, and they won that game, and Joe Gibbs second time around. So that's my memory. That's my memory.
Well, my memory, too. I mean, I was on the couch, and, of course, I had Cowboy Clay mocking me throughout the whole game. And I was being tortured by him and Derek Davis and, you know, all these guys that the Cowboy contingency here in D.C., and you just got to take it. And I'll never forget it. And these are the moments that you live for, having been in these games. And, you know, to be in the game is such an honor, because you start thinking about, I started thinking about George Allen's run.
Yeah.
Where I think this thing really got started. And me watching Brig Owens from my hometown and Charlie Taylor, the 72 game is when I got introduced to it. And Walt Garrison being stopped on the one, Kilmer to Taylor, seeing Pat Fisher and the boys, that's the one to me that established it.
Yeah.
And so that long ago, and watching Brig and the boys.
Yeah.
So the Over the Hill gang, the Errol and the helmet, to me, that's what I think of all the time. Dyron Talbert,
yeah.
You know, I think of Salty Dog, Ron. So I think of those guys. To me, that's where the rivalry started, and you had to live up to that, because those guys, to me, they established this stuff. George
yeah.
Stark was on that team. He was a baby. He's a rookie. You know, and those guys, when I got here, so in 80, you just couldn't believe Terry Hermanly and these guys, how close-knit they were. They understood what a bond, really. What they remind me of this year's team, that group that embraced new people from different teams, different attitudes, ethnicities, and they let you know what it was like, that what George Allen built,
yeah.
and the fact that that unity, that's what had been crushed here by these
yeah.
nitwits,
yeah.
and they had destroyed it, and now I see that coming back.
Yeah, and you know what the joy of having you on the radio, Doc, is that we can your wealth of knowledge and just the names that you're bringing up. We're so blessed to have somebody who can recount all those things. And the league knew it too. There was no, it's not a coincidence that the NFL put the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Commanders as the last game of the year, thinking in their in their scheduling that this could be something with hopefully Dak playing, Dan Quinn going back, and Joe Witt going back, and Jaden Daniels at least doing something. You got to be thinking that that's what they were probably in their mindset, that this will be a good tasty one for week 18. Now I don't really care about what goes on in Dallas, but I do know that being out at Commanders Park this week, these guys, they want to win this game. You know, they're not playing around. Kingsbury said that offenses hasn't been clicking the way they want. He said you just can't turn it on when it comes to the postseason. So they're going to be playing everybody. That's what he said. They're going to be playing everybody. They don't want to lose hold of that number six seed, because number seven seed means you're going to play Philly. Although there was many, including myself, said, hey, look, they've had success against Philly, so at this point, it doesn't matter who they play. I think that the Commanders are going to be dangerous when they got in. And, you know, we think it here, but when you talk to people like Sal Palantonio and Dan Graziani that I had on with the sideline report with Marvin this week, Sal Palantonio came out of his mouth and says, I don't know, it's going to be hard to keep Jaden Daniels out of the Super Bowl. Sal Palantonio said that. Living in Philadelphia, Sal Palantonio told us on the air this week, it's going to be hard to keep Jaden Daniels out of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That's the national perspective now. That's much respect. So, obviously, you want the six seed because you don't want to have to go up to play Philly. But you do know Philly. You've played them twice. You do know they've shut down Saquon in the second half of games. You don't know Jalen Hurts is going to be whatever. I think the Rams are going to be an issue with Kupp and Puka Nacua, but you just got to get in and hold on. So I guess they're – I love the fact that they are going down there with the mentality that even though Dallas has nothing to play for, Washington has everything to play for, because that six seed means a lot versus a seven seed. It just does.
Yeah, it does. Here's the good news. I'd rather have the beast in my division than him be outside, because I know
that's
about him,
said.
He knows about me.
That's what I said, but everybody's like, no, you don't want no parts of Philly.
Look, if that's what everybody else is afraid of.
I was there at the first game without Jonathan Allen and without Lattimore, and I saw them hold the Eagles at bay for three quarters, and then obviously Saquon got off and the dam broke, right? Then everybody's telling that, well, hey, look, you know, that second game against the Eagles is an asterisk because Jalen Hurts was – Jalen Hurts doesn't play defense. Jalen Hurts doesn't play defense. And that Washington Commanders team went all over that Vic Fangio defense in the second half. So, I'm just like you. Give me my – I'll take my chances up in Philly just as much as I will go to a Rams or somebody else that I don't know. But, I mean, that's just one person's opinion.
Well, no. I think any time in the division, the Eagles will probably feel the same way because they know us, we know them. Here's the problem. A guy who changes the game is five. Like Saquon, game changer. So everybody's got a freak. They have more than we do, but so what? Had we fell on our face in the first time we met them, that would have been the stage fright game. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't. We went three quarters. Now, we didn't win it. And I'm not trying to brag on three. It's incomplete. But I'll tell you right now, the way JD5 has matured, people around, they won't admit it, but I guarantee you nobody wants to see that dude. And he don't come alone. He comes with the team.
Absolutely. And listen.
So, and me is Tyler Badass. If Badass is 100%.
Correct.
Everybody talking about wide receiver. You keep them receiver. If Beatis is there, suit me. I'm ready to let's roll. Yeah, because the value is the Fab Five. If them big hungries up front, because all we need is a crease to get one of our backs through a hole and some protection to protect five. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And the rest of it, five. Right. And you got to think that it's the perfect blend of rookies and young players that are just entering the league, mixed in with the people like Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz, who will not let this team sink to. And that's the perfect, that is the ingredients that other teams coming out of Washington did not have. You know, we had it a couple of years when London Fletcher was, patrolling that linebacker spot. Some other, but the
you had better coaching then too with London. J and M. Look, man, they knew what they were doing. That was just lack of discipline.
Right. The
but
amount
they schemes.
Talent.
Yeah, they had talent. They did a hell of a job. But if they had a sergeant of arms.
The amount of leadership that they now have with the Zach Ertz and the Bobby Wagner just going through the locker room. I mean, it's a grown-up room. Like, they will not let younger players mull over plays, mull over quarters, mull over games, because they know that they only have a couple more shots at this thing, right? And that's why they're going to be all pedal to the metal in Week 18. And whoever they play, as long as Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz, and you mentioned Tyler Biadasz and some of these veterans that have been brought here for that reason, if they're on the team, I can see why Sal Palantonio would say something like that. Yo, I don't know how you keep five and the rest of the Commanders, because they're an unknown entity. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is the fun part about meaningful football in January and hopefully in February, is that, look, now that they're in, my goodness, I mean, why you're that quarterback has sped up the curve. They're a year, maybe 2 years ahead of schedule because of number five, right? But because you're 2 years ahead of schedule, why not do something special now?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. We smoke out of the same peace pipe. I think it's going to be great. I got to ask you about the college games. Anything blow your mind? I need your forecast and what you think has happened with the college, the 12 to the new format. And I'm just dying to think when he gets your reaction on what happened with the Longhorns and ASU.
Oh, that Longhorn ASU game was just tremendous. I mean, I love it. I think that we have been dying for a playoff system that replicates anything that is actually sensible in college athletics. And to see these games and to know the way that they've orchestrated that the first rounds are at home sites and then you have all these bowls sprinkled in, I love it. I don't think that they've done anything, you know, because when you start expanding now, Doc, you know what's going to happen. The 13th team's going to feel that they get left out. And then the next team's going to feel that they left out. But, hey, look, you know, all the number one seeds being gone, right? I love it. I mean, when you get into a tournament, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And so don't cry, Kirby Smart. Don't cry, you know, all these teams. Don't cry. I mean, this is what needed to happen. And if you were that good, you go ahead and do what you need to do.
I hate that the Zebras are the talk of the town and not the quarterbacks or the receivers or D tackles. Was that targeting in your mind?
That's
ASU,
the Texas player.
Yeah,
I don't. Me personally, I think it was a bang bang play. I don't think that he. That's for me. What say you? I just think these are bang bang plays. I think the guy turned his head and it was there. But that's not what decided the game.
No, but I've seen it called. See, that's the problem, is that I'm just so surprised that with all the cameras, you don't even have to do it on the spot. You got help because some guy in New York is covering it and seeing it. But I've seen that called a lot.
Yeah,
and And so here's what happens.
Doc Walker, it's a violent game. I don't know how
all
did it.
I know.
Well, I don't know how
they
all did it. And now it's come to the point now where there's so many calls that these human beings, like you said, even with help, they can't make it because the game has been morphed into such a different game now. Like, people like Sean Taylor would not be able to play in this NFL.
Oh, no way. No right? way. But Jack Tatum and them guys got run out.
Yeah.
Because they was doing what they were taught.
Ronnie Lott, all those people would have been banned from the league.
Yeah.
Right?
But do you trust them? My first thing is that, because I don't trust them, they lost my trust, the NBA. So I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Had it been reversed, yeah, I guarantee you Arizona State would have been called for targeting. But in my heart of hearts, I just believe that man could not do that to Texas. They reach is too long. They're too far. Mm. That's just what I believe. Because to me, that was targeted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go, well, then why wasn't it called? Then we get into this. I don't like it when they get that involved in the game. They should not be that involved in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And not with people verifying and watching what you got going on, and that stinks. But, hey, it's the way it goes, man. It's called blue blood. And you right. either are or you aren't. But
who do you think's going to win it, Doc? You have Ohio State?
Man,
you
I tell
Ohio
you, State's well, on the Ohio home? State looks like the buzzsaw, but we've seen that before. Penn right. State, we've never seen them win a game of question when it's supposed to. Same like thing like UT. So that's why this one is truly up in the air.
Yeah.
Because this is one where the pretender has got to win it. And I have to bet with your money on this one because I don't trust them. The same Ohio State, we were blowing smoke up there behind whatever in Michigan came in there with the back with a JV quarterback. And so seeing is believing. Penn State to me has been impressive defensively. But Ohio State is doing what they look like they're capable of, but it's not on demand. So I don't know. I don't trust them.
Yeah.
So that's why this is going to be great. I tell you what. I'm not going to miss it.
I love the format.
Happy New Year. Thank you for kicking this thing off the way it's got to be done, the right way. And we'll do it again as soon as possible.
You are a blessing, Doc Walker. Have a good one.
Thank you. Hail to the W. That is Dr. Lou Holder. We're going to break. Heavy Metal is smiling, and that's a good thing. Stay with us. Welcome back to Overtime, DOC, on the microphone, Heavy Metal. And we were talking a little puck earlier, and the scarcity of rinks make it very difficult for all kids, young men and women, to skate. And it's a burden on parents. I mean, I know your mom had to get up, what, 3 a.m. She probably had to get up at 2 just to get you up. To get dressed.
No, excited to play. I'd be tired, but I was excited to play. I loved playing ice hockey.
Yeah, it's just not accessible for everybody. And
no,
that's the
it's
thing
really
about
not.
Hoops. You know, right now, you know, the Hoop It Up Classic. I know G from the shop probably out there balling out. I just applaud everybody, you know, Pro City. Everybody, the Baseline Hoop Sports that do this, put on these events so people can play. You know how exciting it is to be in a tournament? It's like if you tell me you were in, don't have a memory about opening day in Little League, then I know you didn't play. You had sleepless nights thinking about the opening day in Little League. I mean, those are moments that they are priceless. And that's why to be in sports and not mention youth sports, to me, is insane. It's the genesis. It's the seed. It's everything. And this area, once again, has what? Phenomenal youth programs, great high school coaches, youth coaches. Nationally ranked teams all across the board, DMV. And we're lucky. I mean, It's not that we'll probably get the national due, but, man, it's a lot. And I was just involved in very small, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. But just being involved in that opened it up for me, man. Just seeing how important it is. And you'll see. I mean, when them girls get to doing their thing, and thank God they got their mother's looks, but if they get your athleticism.
They're getting my height already. Spin. They're both in like the 98 percentile for girls in their age groups.
Oh, no question. No, they're going to be beasts.
I tell people I'm raising a WNBA team. So.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, man. But it's the thing that is the most fun part of parenting. And just supporting their efforts and seeing them grow in it. And it's just the participation. It's not whether or not they're 5 stars, 2 stars. No, the fact is that they're participating in it. And you've got the roughest part of parenting to me. Because I didn't have to deal with electronics. I mean, it just, Nintendo and Game Boy, it just had come out. But they were like 14, 15. So at the tip end of it. But you, my friend.
I'll tell you, though, Doc. My parents used to talk about it like that. All that stuff's going to rot your brains and whatever and stuff. But I'll tell you, some of those sports video games are actually how I really learned some of the intricacies of sports. I learned about play calling from playing, was it play action football on the old Nintendo, where you could actually call your plays and they'd show you the routes that the runners, like the receivers would run and stuff. And I'd never really seen something like that outside of X's and O's drawn on a whiteboard, but to actually see that and see your players do it, like, that really taught me as a kid just like some of the basics of like, oh, like what's a lead option?
I can't say it because we were actually outside playing it at the park and in the street.
Well, I played with my friends too. That's the thing. But because the video games were much more advanced than my friends were, we could actually learn how to like call plays and like design plays and stuff because I'd played video games. I mean,
okay, you know what? I can't speak to it. You're probably right. We had electric football. It was horrible. The thing just buzzed around, and I can't believe how many hours I invested into that. That's how desperate it was.
But you never
really,
got
it was
to,
like we were prehistoric.
You never got to experience like, the joy of Game Bo Boy? Jackson on Tecmo Bowl 1, the original Tecmo Bowl football game where Jackson was just like the most broken character of all time. You never got to experience that, Doc. There's just something about that.
Yeah, but watching your kids go through that, a lot of parents is envy. But I'd never trade from childhoods. Never. Because we had so many outdoor experiences. I used to have to I threw them out the house. I had to lock them out. Whereas I didn't want to be in. So that's the generational thing. But look, having an iPad at 5 has to be awesome.
And my 5-year-old
is
not
having
an iPad.
I mean, there's pluses. I mean, look, man, is you go with what you've got. You just hope that your parents, like you are, smart enough to make sure they get the best of both worlds.
No, my kids don't have those kind of electronics yet, man. I mean, I got a 5 and a 3-year-old, and they got no iPads or nothing. You know, they're barely learning how my phone works a little bit when they see me use it. But even that, you know, that's not really their thing right now. We got them. They're still doing, you know, coloring books and reading and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. No, but it's a beautiful thing. I knew he was in the gym with Young G. Young G trying to slam. So that's a good deal. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Is that the good doctor on the line?
It sure is. Hey, Doc.
Happy New Year.
Oh, man. Sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to you the last few days. Talking about sports, we've been flying. I've been on the flight, taking a flight tomorrow.
No, I know.
Had one back and forth. Got to go to Atlanta. We got to go to JFK and then Chicago, St. Louis.
No, you ain't got to go. You ain't got to go. You get to
That's
go.
That's right. Yeah. Get to go. We just came from St. Petersburg, Florida. That is pretty. It's like a little mini Beverly Hills. It was nice. Won one, lost one, but she had a couple good games. But I just wanted to chime in on the youth sports thing. I didn't hear the whole thing, but I think youth sports is definitely important. I played three sports in high school, basketball, softball, volleyball. And what I noticed different, though, is my parents never came to one game. It just, you never thought of it. I never thought of, like, why would they be there? They work or they do something at night. I just, it's odd. And now, as a parent, I haven't missed any of my daughter's games. And then y'all talking about the electronics. It absolutely ruined my son. I mean, he is on that stupid computer since almost the day he was born. My fault, you know, we get him the iPads and the iPhones or whatever. And, you know, when he, we tried him with soccer, you know, with him and my daughter, they're about the same age. We tried him to soccer. He'd be standing there with his hand up. I'm like, what's wrong with you? He's like, I think I feel rain. I'm like, there's no rain. Just keep going. And then we tried T-ball. He struck out. And then when he finally hit, he ran to third. And I'm like, what is wrong with this girl? Your God. And then we tried football, and they gave him a ball, and the guy had his flag. He said, I want you to run. I'm going to try to tackle, get your flag. Don't let him – I don't want you to go get a touchdown. So when he's going down, the coach is like, you know, chasing him. So what does he do? He turns around and goes the other way. I was like, that's not how you play the game. You don't go the other way. So
but
I knew –
he may discover a cure for cancer.
Well, he's going to discover a video game. I don't know about a cure for cancer. He's all into that computer.
Well, no, I'm just saying. But it could happen. Yeah. It could happen.
It might. I just wish he had more, like, me and you and the metal and everybody. You know, outdoors. And his favorite sport, he said, is Wii Sport. I'm like, what the heck? So, I just, I don't, I guess... Well,
metal,
your
help
point
her out,
is,
man.
Pretty funny.
We can't judge.
Yeah.
Because he might be...
He raised his hand. Wii Sport. Oh, dude, that ain't a sport. But... Anyhow,
well,
I love athletics, you know, and I think what it teaches you is discipline, teamwork, disappointment, joy, confidence, determination. Everything you need to be successful in life, it's in sports, particularly team sports. Now, individual sports like golf and tennis, it's actually harder on some things and easier than others. Like you could be selfish as those kind of players, but when something goes wrong, you can't point the finger to no one else. It's all you. So,
yeah, well, we're going to pick this up because this could be a continuance because this is interesting because I don't think there's a right or wrong answer or question to it. But I would encourage you, don't force him into sports. Let him be himself.
I tried to get him to play pickleball.
Guy,
he hates me.
Yeah, but he may cure a disease because his skill set's in another area. So I would not discourage him. All right. Nothing but love for you, K9. Do your thing. We got to go to break. When we come back, G from the shop has emerged. Of course, he's at the gymnasium. And we'll catch up before we close this bad boy out right here on Overtime. Shout out to Brother Lou Holder, Ricky Sanders, Vernon Dean, we had some really good instructors today to try to drop that knowledge on you. It's like being hosting TED Talks. Get you people in here who have survived the test of time and balled out.
Three great guests today also. They were just all great on the air today.
Well, you know, it's Dallas Week. And when you're talking about things you're passionate about or that you've done, you've actually done it, it helps. We have so many people that wager, you know, BetQL line, all the things that people get involved with what we do. And thank you for joining us on MDM National Listener Line. We owe it to them. Bring them experts. Let them decide on their own. Because we want people to make money to listen to us so they can get paid. You know, it's all good. That to me is fun. You know, it's fun. And, being able to get through this the way we do it. And, man, these games. You know what? We just went through this sports radio. We have NFL games today. And this weekend. And if you're not fired up to see Minnesota and the Lions.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. Say get your popcorn ready.
I hope it's not a blowout. I hope it just comes down to the wire and it just becomes that game we're all hoping it is, you know?
How can you not root for the Trojan at quarterback for Minnesota? I don't know.
Well, I will tell you, because my girl is a Detroit Lions fan, I will not be rooting for Minnesota. I know better than that.
My boy Dan Miller is on the – he's a voice of the Lions. You know where my heart is at. I'm with my boy Dan Miller, but I'm just so happy that we get this honor to see the clash heavyweights, yeah, going for it. How lucky are we? Well, hey, man, shout out to AWOD, I mean, and that group. And keep it right here, man. Let's just keep balling out. We're lucky. And we got a football team that's on the verge of dominance. God bless you.